my husband Frank today.
Frank Gray is going to be coming on.
Oh, that's right. Frank's going to be doing the law report.
Exactly. And without further ado, Phil.
All right. Margaret is going to bring on Frank, and we're going to have the law report.
I said without further ado, Phil.
Okay. You mind if I get into the show here a little bit?
God, Margaret.
Well, then what do you think without further ado means?
Means there's no more ado.
I'm going to beat you. Hold, wait a minute. The kid's... I'm dead serious.
He didn't mean that. Without further ado.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's Frank Gray's Law Report. Yeah. With my husband, Frank Gray. Hello, Frank.
Yeah, I heard... Anyway, hello, everyone. This is Frank Gray, my husband, my wife. God, I'm nervous.
Your wife,
My wife...
Your wife, Margaret.
Yes, my wife, Margaret. Thank you for introducing me, Margaret. He's a wonderful wife and a great mother and probably a better radio personality than me. And thank you, Phil Hendry. She's the one that invited me to do this segment, and I'm very proud to do it.
And?
Yeah, and Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard and, of course, General Shaw.
Frank, how are you doing? We're looking forward to it.
Thank you very much. We can kill the... pomp and circumstance. I felt that was not quite appropriate.
Well, Frank, what are you now on Law Report? You're going to be reading to us each week a different case that you handled, correct? And how you handled it, what it represented, what it meant to the jurisprudence, and so forth.
Yeah, these are cases that come from the files of Frank Gray, and you know, I'm an entertainment attorney. I was a criminal defense attorney for a few years, and I went into the entertainment business, but I held on to the files.
Now, you have the file there of Newton Pelfrey, right?
I've got Newton's right here, and she was an interesting case. She was the father of three, worked at a place, and you think this is a joke, but it's not. She worked at a place called Rollo's Balloon Warehouse in Tahunga.
Now, this guy worked at Rollo's Balloon... What is it?
Rollo's Balloon Warehouse in Tahunga.
All right. But is that like a balloon?
It's a balloon warehouse. What do you want me to tell you?
Okay. Was it like a party place?
Yeah, exactly. It was a place where they sold party supplies.
Okay.
So, everybody square on that?
Yeah, I'm square. I understand. Yes. It's...
Go ahead, Frank.
All right. One night, Mr. Pelfrey used a sawed-off shotgun to rob a convenience store out in Pasadena, and they arrested Pelfrey. She was convicted of armed robbery and got a 10-year prison sentence. Now, here's where... I come into it. She fired her attorney, who I happen to know, the guy, Bruce Wyckoff, and I always thought she was a great attorney, but hey, Pelfrey fired her, and she knew what she was doing.
Now, you said this is a man with three children.
Yeah, exactly. So she goes into prison, leaving her children with her wife, and now he's there alone with three kids while his husband is in jail, and she's rotting in jail. This is where I come into it. I was contacted by an individual who was a friend of Mr. Pelfrey's, Warner Burcock, and...
Now, this was a man who was a co-worker.
Yes, Warner Burcock was a co-worker of Mr. Pelfrey's, and contacted me, and I was just doing a very small legal defense practice at the time out here in Studio City. Now, I get the contact, and I'm asked to go and talk to Mr. Pelfrey. I go to where Mr. Pelfrey has been remanded, and that is at Chino. And I listened to her story, and it's quite an interesting story, Phil and Margaret and everyone. She was hired by Rollo's Balloon Warehouse after she got laid off from her job, which was some kind of a design business that she was in.
Was he an architect?
No, she wasn't an architect. She was a design, some kind of a commercial design business. I can't remember. And it was quite a letdown going from commercial design to working in a balloon factory or wherever the Christ it was.
A balloon factory?
It's not a balloon factory. It was a party supply.
Yeah, party supplies for kids' parties, things like that, because they had balloons and...
Exactly, yeah, and they had clown costumes and clown outfits, everything you would need, everything you'd want for any kind of a clown effect or party effect.
Okay, so this guy was contacted by you, or?
No, I was contacted by a friend of hers by the name of Warner Hertzberg, and I believe I got the name right.
I don't remember, it sounds about right.
Yeah, it sounds right.
Okay. And she proceeds to tell me the story that her friend was laid off from her job or no, Fred was laid off from the design job and went to work for Rollo's balloon factory at the balloon warehouse. Now, I went and I talked to her and I asked, okay, yeah, my name's Frank Gray.
Now, what kind of a guy was he? Can you tell me? You say he was a father.
Button-down guy, a responsible guy. Got a degree, I think, in design. Took a master's degree in design as well as a botany, which I thought was rather interesting. And so, quite a...
Sounds like a very intelligent man.
Quite an intelligent man. And going from the design business and going from meeting people, going over plans, looking at spaces for homes or spaces for factories, etc., going from that job to working at a balloon house where most of the individuals that one has interplay with are either children or adolescents, and generally adults. Generally, adults that are, extremely probably spoiling the kids quite a bit.
All right, so I'm getting the picture. So this is a man with a great deal of education and intelligence thrown into a business that just. I wouldn't say it's beneath him.
Well, I don't want to say it was beneath her, but I would say that she was challenged by this.
All right, so what exactly, if you're working in a balloon warehouse and you're having contact with children, are the children coming through?
Yeah, they coming through and perusing the balloonery or whatever?
Well, I don't know what you mean by balloonery.
I guess you mean all the balloons.
Yeah, I gave it a word.
All right, you gave it a word.
Well, he gave it a description. A lot of balloons would be a balloonery.
Okay, that works for me, a balloonery. I don't have it anywhere in my legal documentation, but be that as it may, everything that you're saying is right. And one night, she couldn't stand it any longer. One night, she couldn't stand it any longer and got a sawed-off shotgun and robbed three convenience stores in the Pasadena-Sunland area for a total of $2,621, several bottles of booze, some lighters and candy. And this apparently was as the result of all the pressure that was on her for having to take the garbage, if you'll pardon me, Phil.
Taking a lot of guff?
Yeah, just taking a lot of guff from kids and their indulgent parents about balloons. And I sat and I talked to Newton, and she says to me, I'll never forget this, she said the thing that pushed her over the edge was she was looking at one mother, and he was saying to the kids the usual thing, like, go ahead, what do you want to have? You can have anything you want. And Newton was trying to unload another box of balloons. Newton was trying to unload another box of balloons. And as she was doing that, one of the kids grabbed Newton's pants and pulled the pant and said, hey, you, what do you think you're doing with those balloons? I want to look at him, and proceeded to kind of crawl up Newton's leg to grab him.
What do you mean, crawl up his leg?
Yeah, the kid was just, on the floor?
Yeah, the kid was on the warehouse floor, and Newton was on one of those, just a small ladder. And the kid starts to crawl up the ladder and then starts trying to crawl over Newton's leg. And Newton is trying to shake this kid off and looking around for help. There's no help to be had. Until finally the kid grabbed the box of balloons and they went spilling all over the place. And that's when the woman looked at his watch and said, oops, gotta go, something like that, you know.
All right, so this sounds like a man that was under a lot of stress.
That's exactly what it was. And again, this is a man of a high degree of intellect and intelligence and having to do a menial task such as this.
All right, the balloons went everywhere and everybody left?
Yeah, that's when Newton told me the kid remarked to him, put it anywhere, chump, and kicked the box and kind of looked at her in a rather insulting way. And the kid walked off, and that's when Newton knocked off early for the night. And this is, I've got the notes. Newton said she knocked off early for the night, went home to see her wife, kissed her wife and the kids, and then told him that she was going to go out for a breath of air. That's when Newton grabbed a sawed-off shotgun in the garage that she kept for protection.
She kept it in the garage for protection?
Apparently, that's where she felt it was the safest, you can judge whether that's smart or not, but that's where she had it. Grabbed the sawed-off shotgun. She drove directly to Pasadena to a convenience store that she knew about and proceeded to rob it.
Now, why driving to that store?
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
Yeah, it's a side point. Did he know these people?
Well, apparently, Newton had gone into this particular place and stood in line for about a half of an hour while the guy at the counter kept selling lotto tickets and paying people off and this and that, scratch-offs, and Newton standing there with a gallon of milk and just wanted to get home, and then finally left.
Just angry at being ignored.
Angry at being ignored.
All right, now, before we go any further, we're talking to Frank Gray here on Law Report about one of his clients, a Newton Pelfrey, employed by a place called Rollo's Balloon Warehouse. Is that place still around?
I tried to find it. It's not. I think it turned into a Toys R Us and then eventually went the way of Toys R Us. I think they're out of business.
All right. And,
Mark, if you don't mind.
Oh, go ahead.
So we're talking to Frank here on Law Report about this case where he's handling a man by the name of Newton Pelfrey, who worked at Rollo's Balloon Warehouse. One night, uses a shotgun to rob a convenience store in Pasadena. Now, this was a place that had just inconvenienced him.
Yeah, they'd inconvenienced. I don't think they even remember her from Adam. You know, she walks in, gets a carton of milk, and they look at her like they probably look at everybody else, like a fly on the wall, and proceeds to pay off all of these people who've got these tickets, scratch-offs, and...
These are all lottery tickets.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, so I can understand it. That nothing tightens my jaws like that.
Yeah, you got to stand in line for it.
Well, you got to stand in line for it. You got to stand in line. That's the store sells all kinds of things.
That's true. But what we're saying is we understand the man's impatience.
Well, of course. And this is where I argued to the appeals judge, the appeals. I said, this is a man of high intelligence, and yet she was forced to stand in line with a carton of milk, waiting for a bunch of lunkheads, I believed I used the word Luddites, lunkhead, to get their scratch-offs and their scratch and sniff or something like that. And finally, she couldn't take it any longer.
Can I ask a quick question, Frank?
Okay, but I'm in the middle of this.
Frank, why don't you let... I mean, Phil, why don't you let him finish?
Well, all right, go ahead.
Well, go on. I mean, you stop me.
Were you... never mind.
Oh, hey, what is this? Anyway...
Ask me. Frank, hold on for a minute.
Now, hold on.
I wanted to know, was he confusing genders while he was in front of the court?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. He's been doing it for probably 3 decades.
3 decades? This guy's been an attorney and he's confusing genders?
Hey, listen, General, you know, your stuff smells just like everybody else's, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, Frank, we just had to check a detail.
Yeah, I'll bet. Don't worry about it. So, where was I?
You were talking about how... You talked to the appeals court.
Yeah, so I argued to the appeals court. This is a very intelligent man, and yet she's forced to take kids on a tour of a balloon warehouse and get down boxes of balloons and show, quote-unquote, how they work. And I said to the court, can you imagine a man such as this having to show a bunch of dim bulb kids, and I used the word, how to use a balloon? It just doesn't sink any lower than that. And so one day, because she couldn't stand it any longer, she pulled a balloon out of a box. And so one day, because she couldn't stand it any longer, she pulled a balloon out of the box and made to like it was a condom.
In front of the kids?
No, in front of one of the mothers. That was the first demerit. And
no, wait, you didn't tell us any of this, Frank.
Well, I'm trying to tell the appeals court how the insanity motivated this guy. She was a fine, upstanding citizen with a great career in front of her, and now she's pulling balloons out of boxes and pretending they're condoms in front of mothers and grandmothers, and then taking a sawed-off shotgun and robbing convenience stores. So we're trying to capture the slow decline of a man, you see.
Well, how does this help you with the appeals board? I don't understand. Aren't they arguing...
How does it help me?
Yeah, what Phil's saying is they're arguing law there, aren't they?
Of course we're arguing law. And what I argued to the appeals court was that this was insanity-producing, to take a man such as this and to force her into some kind of a balloon act was basically trying to drive her nuts, trying to induce an insanity that would cause her to get a gun and wave it in the face of a convenience store clerk and take
every red cent.
And it was also exactly in that situation would cause her to take a balloon out of a box while she's talking to some grandmother or mother about catering a party and pretend like she's slipping it on as a condom.
Well, that right there, that proves insanity. You better believe that. But that also, in my opinion, that proves such dangerous insanity as the man should be remanded to a psychiatric facility.
Which is exactly what happened. And that's exactly what Frank Gray was able to do. Newton Pelphrey won the appeal. The court re-adjudicated it.
Re-adjudicated.
And I like the way you say that, Phil, almost as if you know what you're doing. Re-adjudicated, yeah. You know.
All right, Frank, I don't have to say anything.
No, I thank you. Thank you. I mean that. So what happened was the court awarded Newton, now get this, the court awarded Newton $5 million in damages.
Get out of here. Are you kidding me?
No, that's the kind of lawyer Frank Gray is, okay?
I knew you guys would like this one.
God damn.
$5 million.
Yeah, that's more, but I mean, did he even make that much money at a balloon house?
Did he make that much money at a balloon house?
At the balloon warehouse.
Of course not, Dickman. Are you more brain dead than I actually think you are? No. She didn't make that kind of money. Get a load of her, will you?
Man. Well, hey, Frank, you know what? We all make mistakes.
All right. So, but I got her $5 million in damages and another $165,700 in back pay.
How long was he in jail / the psychiatric facility?
Well, for 5 years.
So when did you take this case?
About 5 years into her stay there at Chino.
5 years, he'd be at... He'd been at Chino, and you got him out of there and got him over to a psychiatric... Whereabouts?
Atascadero, your favorite place. Another 3 years there, and then evaluated by the hospital, the forensic staff, and then released. And today, Newton Pelphrey is happy with another wife. I'm sorry to say that the first marriage didn't last very long. And the terrible part about that was that Pelphrey's wife began dating the manager of this balloon house because the manager began to sympathize with Newton's plight and would bring things to the kids and to the wife. And the next thing you know, they're getting to know each other.
But how do you like that?
Yeah, that's the way it goes. And so, but Newton sees the kids. She's married to a beautiful, beautiful young lady. So, and he just adores her. So, all's well that ends well.
Boy, $5 million, Frank. Why did you ever get out of the criminal defense business, or what kind of business was that?
I was a criminal defense attorney. And why did I get out of it? Because I couldn't stand it anymore. It was more work than it was worth, and I was able to segue into entertainment law, which is a lot more interesting, and I get to go to film festivals.
Oh, being an entertainment attorney, Phil, let me tell you, Frank goes to all the film festivals. He has the very exciting clients. It's for him, it's just playtime.
Yeah, it is. Now, but I'll tell you, I do have certain clients, you know, that I represent. Ted Bell and...
I thought Harvey Weinman represented Ted.
No, Harvey never represented Ted. Ever. Never. Where'd you get that idea?
I'm sorry.
But, you know...
I know that Harvey eats there.
Yeah, Harvey eats there. So what? I represent Ted Bell.
All right, Frank. We got it, okay?
You may have gotten it, but he's getting it. And
all right, Frank. Well, thank you. That's a very interesting story.
Well, I'm not done yet. So Newton Pelphrey, what have I left out?
That doesn't sound like you left out anything. He's married and he's got a new girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, okay. I haven't left anything. Yeah, Newton Pelphrey. And I call that, when I go into the Frank Gray files, I call that up, up, and away. And that's a case that I call the Newton Pelphrey case, the case I call up, up, and away, TWA, you know, just...
Why, because of the balloons?
Yeah, because of the balloons and just, yeah, you know. And Newton was able to escape the surly bonds of Earth into... You know, goofball land. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll bet he $5 million later.
Hey, $5 million doesn't go a long way now. Back then it did, though. But
Yeah, back then it went a long way. All right.
What is that? Uh-huh.
But because I understand what you're saying, Frank. I get it. $5 million. What year was this, by the way?
This was in the 80s.
In the 1980s, yeah. All right. I'll never forget. I made... Well, I better not say.
What?
Well,
but what were you gonna say?
In the 1980s, I got a gig. In 1983, I got a gig for $50,000 a year.
In
83, 82, 83, yeah. And I thought I was the wealthiest guy on earth.
That's you know, probably a lot of money back in 83.
Bud, why don't you figure that out?
Okay. Yeah. $126,293.
How old were you, Henry?
I was 31 years old.
$126,000 a year. Of course, what do you think of that, Frank?
I don't know. $126,000 now is about, that's about standard for a really good, solid professional kid. I don't know, you know, but I would still think that was a pretty good paycheck.
Yeah, would you do with it, Mr. Henry?
I don't know. I just, I spent it.
Isn't that prudent of you? Thank you for that.
Look, Phil, everybody's entitled to do what they want. It's funny, today we say $126,000 a year is, yeah, okay.
Well, it's on the upper end of what a young professional would make, isn't it?
I don't know. You know, I make so much money, I make so much money, I stop counting it.
Get out of here.
I'm only kidding.
All right, Frank, I appreciate very much your being with us on the show.
Yes, I'm Frank Gray, and this has been Frank Gray's Law Report.
Jesus.
Thanks a lot, Frank. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Richter Cummings Plumbing. We've been in the San Bernardino area for 17 years at Richter Cummings.
Richter Cummings.
We fix your pipes. Richter Cummings in the San Bernardino area for the last 17 years. Whether you need stoppage, linkage, bleeding, or you just need to have a pipe refit and rerouted, Richter Cummings in the San Bernardino areas. We fix
Richter Cummings.
Your plumbing, and we do it at no extra charge. This month, Richter Cummings will charge you double if you apply for the free coupon that's in there. I'm making all of this up because they told me that there was no one told me about the promotion. We've got a coupon in the TV guide. No, we don't.
Richter Cummings.
Plumbing, that is. Go to Richter Cummings Plumbing in San Bernardino, 1521 15th Street. That's 1521 16th Street. That's 1521 14th Street in downtown San Bernardino. Richter Cummings.
Richter Cummings.
Annie, go ahead and grab this is on stage now downtown at the Forsyth Theater. Annie, go ahead and grab this has been called by the LA Times a frolic, a fun, free-wielding enterprise. Something you'll never forget, something you may want to forget, something that you will forget but wish you hadn't forgotten, says the Denver Post.
That was the LA Times?
No, that was the Milwaukee Journal. Annie, go ahead and grab this and, on a second bill, Twix the Legs. Destiny, Twix the Legs. Annie, go ahead and grab this. What a laugh riot. Directed by Bosco Babbitt. Annie, go ahead and grab this. Downtown. Are you getting a good, close, clean shave? Hi, Daryl Eisenhower here for Daryl's Blades. There's a lot of companies that can shave your face clean and keep it crisp and slick. There's a lot of companies that can make your face feel almost as if it's a baby's. So you want to make sure you've got the cleanest, softest skin that you've ever had in your life. You may even want to have skin transplants. But until then, Daryl Eisenhower's Blades are the blades that you need to shave that face slick, clean, cue ball smooth, so that when you make your move, she doesn't scream, Daryl Eisenhower's Blades! Daryl's Blades. Send away for Daryl's Blades, and I'll come to your house personally, and I'll shave it. Your face? Well, you know, that's kind of a... Daryl Eisenhower's Blades. Get Daryl's Blades. I guarantee your face will feel as smooth and as silky soft come spring morning. March 21st, spring morning. That's the... Well, never mind. Daryl's Blades. Daryl Eisenhower's the name. I make blades that'll slick you up, man, and you'll smooth out. Daryl's Blades. Available now at Babcock Nurseries. Available now at...
Babcock Nurseries.
Yeah, that's better. Well, that's all the time we have for today, folks.
What are you talking about?
Where are you leaving?
I am leaving. I got to go and pick up that stuff.
You got to go get that TriCaster?
I got to go to the post office and get all the equipment that we spent all night screaming about on the BSP chat on Friday night.
There was a lot of people talking about that chat. A lot of people, very powerful people, that don't like some of the stuff you said.
I doubt it.
I tried.
So that's it, folks.
Well, we said it would be Frank Gray's Law Report.
And what is this guy screaming about?
God, surf music.
Surf music.
World famous Phil Henry Show, executive produced by me, Phil Henry, for Siempre Incorporated, All Rights Reserved. Podcast one. I'm General Galen Shaw.